Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
The book of Philippians chapter 1. If you ever have a hard time remembering what comes first, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you can just remember General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay? That's just a simple way to remember it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to read this. We'll have it on the screens for you. If you don't have your Bible and you want to follow along, it'll be there for you. Philippians. I've been preaching so much in Galatians lately on Wednesday nights on the fruit of the Spirit. And let me just give a shameless plug for Wednesday nights right now. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, let me tell you, you're missing out, okay? And I'm not saying that because I'm the one doing the preaching. I'm saying that because we have changed the way that we do Wednesday nights, and we're taking a fellowship time after worship between worship and the Word. And I'll tell you what, I have enjoyed that fellowship time so much. Just getting to chat with people and talk and find out what's going on in their lives and encourage one another. And my favorite, laughing with one another. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. And so I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights. It has been so wonderful as we have implemented this fellowship time into our services. It's been great. And guess what? There's even food involved, okay? Some people, that's all it takes. They hear food, they're like Yogi Bear. They hear food and they're just like, I'm in, right? And it's been amazing. This past week, Pastor Bonnie brought a cheese tray, and I tried every single cheese on there, to be respectful, right? I didn't want to be rude and not try it. And they were all delicious. But don't come just for the food. Come for the fellowship. Come for the Word. Come for the worship. But come out on Wednesday nights. We've been going through the fruit of the Spirit. This week, we're going to talk about patience. Actually, Mr. Tim Walden is going to share a testimony with us about patience this Wednesday night. And I'm just excited as we dive. Those Wednesday nights, we can really dive deeper. And I told Pastor Madison Wednesday night as we left, Wednesday nights, all I'm doing is telling people what the Bible says and just breaking it down on a simple level, because there is so much power in the Word of God. And listen, the Word of God doesn't need anything added to it. It just needs to be laid out there. And what, like my grandfather would say this, he'd say, just put the hay down where the goats can get it, right? That's what we're doing on Wednesday nights, just putting it out there where you can pick it up, you can receive it, and you can run with it. Amen? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You found time to get there while I was rambling for a moment. Let's read this. It says, being confident, this is Paul speaking to the church that's in Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite translations says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you today, if he said it, he will do it. Amen? He who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. Look at somebody today and say, he will do it. Now look at the person on the other side of you and say, he'll do it. He will do it. Amen? I'd want to declare over this house today. I want to declare over your house today that the God of all power, who has begun a good work, will be faithful to complete it, even until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work through the Well Fort Payne in Fort Payne, Alabama. Because listen, you and I may have been the vessels that he has chosen to use, but it is God who has established this church. It is God who has sustained this church. And before I get any further, I just want to say thank you to those of you that have been here with us. Whether you came last week, whether you came 52 weeks ago, whether you were at the Well for years and years and years in Scottsboro before we ever planted, I want to say thank you, because without your blood, sweat, and tears and your service to the house of the Lord, we would not be here today. It is his faithfulness, but it's also because of your faithfulness and your willingness. And I just, as a pastor, want to say thank you. If you have served in any capacity, if you've just come and been here and participated in the services, I want to say thank you to you for what you have done. But I also want to remind you that he's not done yet. That he who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. And in fact, that word complete in the Greek means accomplish, do, or perfect. Okay, so not only has he been faithful, but he will continue to be faithful to our house, to ourselves, our lives, our homes, this house, amen. Anything that God starts, he completes. And I want to let you know today, I came to tell you a message. You ain't seen nothing yet. God's been faithful for 52 weeks, but he's not done. He's not finished. There is more that he wants to do. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is both the author and the perfecter of our faith. He doesn't just start something, he completes it. He doesn't just begin something, he will bring it to fruition. He will see it through. He who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. He doesn't start anything that he doesn't plan to not only sustain, but to improve. Because he's not just the finisher, he's the perfecter. What is a perfecter? A perfecter is someone or something that improves something. So he didn't just start this church, and he's not just going to see it through to the end, but he is going to improve it, meaning he's going to cause it to grow. He's going to cause it to flourish. He's going to cause it to expand. I just believe right now that he who has begun a good work, the author, will also be the perfecter. So before we ever planted this house, God spoke to myself and to Pastor Madison through a very trusted voice in our life. And he said, this is what the word said, that this church, after it planted, it would grow explosively. That was the word that was used. It would grow explosively. I've shared this with the leadership team. I've shared this with a few close friends of mine, that it was a word that was near and dear to me. And I took it to heart, and I have prayed over that word, and I've believed in that word. And that word explosive, it means quickly or supernaturally. Well, I've been holding on to that word for about a year now. I've been praying over that word. I've been believing. I've been holding on to it. Sometimes you just need a word from God to hold on to, and a word is enough to get you through. Just like God spoke to Abraham, and he said, through you, there will be many nations. It'll be as the sands of the sea, right? You remember God spoke that word to Abraham? Well, for years and years and years, that's all Abraham had to go on was a word, because his wife was barren. They weren't producing children, but Abraham, against hope, still hoped, and he still believed that God was going to be faithful to do what it was that he had promised and he had performed. And you know what I read this morning in the book of 1 Kings? In the time of Solomon, when Solomon was reigning, it says that the Israelites and the people of Judah, they were more numerable than the sands of the sea. What is that? That is God being faithful to his word generations and generations later because of Abraham, who took the word of God that he spoke to him, and against all hope, he continued to hope. Against all odds, he believed that what God promised, he is also able to perform. And I believe that if God said over this house that we're going to grow explosively, and when I talk about growth, I'm not just talking about more people sitting in padded chairs. I'm talking about souls being brought into the kingdom. I'm talking about people being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about signs and wonders and miracles. I'm talking about us getting a building. I'm talking about us stepping into the calling that God has for us as a people. I believe that he who promised that is also able to perform it. Amen. And then a few months ago, so we got that word before we ever planted the church. A few months ago, we went to a conference in Rome, Georgia at the end of April. And another very trusted voice that I look up to. I don't know him well. He doesn't know me well, but I've seen him minister, and I trust that he hears from the Lord. He was praying over Madison and myself in the altar, and he said, God is bringing a merging of explosion and excellence. Okay? So that's two times that God has spoken to us by prophets and said that there was going to be an explosion that was coming. Now, I'm not taking anything away from what God has done in the past 52 weeks. I'm extremely thankful to him for what he has done, and I wouldn't trade this year for anything in the world. You could offer me anything, and hey, I'll trade you anything for this past year. I wouldn't trade it. Why? Because I'm so thankful for this house. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for what it has meant to my family, to this community. So I'm not taking anything away from what God has done in the past year. But I'll tell you this, I'm not here to look in the rearview mirror. This anniversary isn't about what happened in the past year. It's about celebrating, yes, that God was faithful, but looking forward to what God is going to do. An explosion of growth. Amen? He who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. You know what that means? He will bring it to perfection. Amen. He won't leave anything undone. And it makes me think about the first two scriptures that God ever led me to when we first decided to follow in obedience to plant this church. And I also just want to honor my wife, Pastor Madison, because it was not a small thing to uproot a small family of four young children and move, you know, and plant a church and go away from being closer to family and where we were connected and we'd been serving for years and years and years. So, babe, I'm thankful to you for your trust and obedience to the Lord. But let me tell you, as I begin to seek the Lord for God, what do you want to say for the Wellfort Pain? What's a word? Because I knew that anytime that I'm going to follow a vision from God, I've got to have a word from God, right? Well, I got one from, you know, the trusted voice in my life, but I needed a scripture to go along with it. And he led me to Psalm chapter 127, which says this: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless God builds the house, I want you to know today, we're not striving in vain. God is the author and the perfecter of this house. He is the master craftsman. So don't think that when we come in here on Sundays and Wednesdays or to set up or 12 bushels that we're striving in vain, because the Lord is building this house, not me, not you, and he will be faithful to see that it is not in vain, but it will become everything that he wants it to be. So the second scripture that he told me was when Jesus spoke to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to know today that there is nothing that can stand against the house of God. There are ministries that call themselves ministries that are trying to attack the local church and trying to tear it down. And I'm telling you, Jesus was the author of the church. He's the one that invented the church. When the Holy Spirit came, that's when the new church was birthed. And so this is an idea of God and not of man. And anything that's of man will eventually fizzle out and die. But anything that is of God cannot and will not die. He will sustain it. So I just want to declare that today. And I want you to know that nothing can stop what he wants to do through his house. And I came to declare to you today that I have faith in the master builder. I'm not lacking in confidence nor in faith today. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I'm confident in this thing. I'm not, well, is he going to do it? Are we ever going to get a building? Are we ever going to grow? Are we ever going to see God move? I'm confident that he who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. And I'm not worried about if he's going to do it. I'm just focusing on when he does, I'm going to be here. And I want to thank you again one more time, because here's the thing, what you don't understand sometimes when you're in the birthing process of something and in the early stages of it, is it seems hard, it seems difficult, but you're going to love to look back one day when God has caused explosion to come, and you're going to be like, I remember when we were in Livingstone. I remember when only 60 people were there on Sunday mornings. I remember when only 15 people were there on Wednesday nights. But you know what? We just kept having church. We just kept worshiping. We just kept praising God. We just kept being faithful. Even when it felt like nothing was happening, I knew he was working, and I am choosing to be faithful because my God is faithful. Amen. Because if he said it, he'll do it. And this is his church. So there's no demon in hell. There's no scheme of man. There's no plot of the enemy that will ever stand in the way of what he wants to do in this community. And I've got a feeling, this is what I'm preaching. I'm getting to my sermon now. You ready? I just had to get through all that. I've got a feeling that things are about to bust wide open. And I say that with complete confidence today. I've got a feeling that since we've been faithful in what seems like little, he's about to make us steward over much. And that's what I want to preach to you about today. My title for this morning is one word, and it's simply, suddenly. And if you're familiar with my dad, you would know this is a title my dad would use to preach a sermon. And so that's why I say that I dedicate this sermon to my dad today, suddenly. There are certain words in the Bible, I've talked about this before, that when you read them, they command your attention, right? Have you ever been around somebody that they command your attention? Not like they get in your face and go, look at me. But when they walk in the room, you're like, there's something different about that person. They walk in authority. They walk in the Spirit. They walk in confidence. They're just a sharp person. Well, there are certain words in Scripture that when you read them, they command your attention. Suddenly is one of those words. But here's the thing. I want to preach this because I believe that God, what God is about to do, he's going to do suddenly. Because that word explosion, explosions don't happen progressively. They happen suddenly, right? And so I've been wondering, God, I'm praying over this word, explosive growth. And one day it just hit me. This is going to happen suddenly, right? But I believe that he's going to do it suddenly. But here's the thing about suddenlies is, suddenlies will catch people off guard. because they weren't looking for it. They weren't expecting it. However, I want to prepare you today for sudden explosion, for sudden growth. Here's why. Because when something happens suddenly, there isn't any room for preparation. Either you're ready or you're not. There's no in between. When something happens suddenly, there's no time to get ready. Okay? I love what John Wooden, who was an amazing basketball coach for years and years for the UCLA Bruins, he said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. So many people wait for an opportunity and then they try to get ready for the opportunity. No, you need to live prepared, because when God wants to do something suddenly, you're either prepared for it, you're either ready, or you're not. And I don't want you to be unprepared for what God is about to do, because what happens to people when they are not prepared for the sudden move of God is they get frustrated with the move of God. They get frustrated. They get upset. God moves suddenly, and because it wasn't on their terms at their time and they weren't ready for it, they weren't prepared, they get mad. They begin to say things like, well, I didn't used to have to look for a seat when I came into the sanctuary. I could just always sit right here and nobody, but now when I come in, there's already people there and my family can't even sit together because there's not any room and I can't sit on my row anymore. And I don't like sitting there because it's cold right under the air conditioner, but when there wasn't a lot of people, I could sit wherever I wanted. And they're frustrated at the sudden growth that God has produced. Now I've got to park further away from the door. I used to could park wherever I want. Now there's so many cars out there. If you're complaining about something like that, you need to check your heart. But if you're not prepared for the suddenly, you'll get frustrated about it. Why? Because it wasn't on your terms, at your time, the way you wanted it to happen. Some people will get frustrated. I just miss the times when I knew everybody. I knew what was going on in their lives, and you know, and now I just feel like I don't know anybody anymore. It's just gotten too big, right? I liked it better the old way. I'm just not sure what's going on. Listen, if you aren't prepared for suddenly, then suddenly will catch you off guard and will rock your world. It'll rock your boat. So today I want to let you know we're stepping into a season of suddenly. So you better get ready for it. Because if not, you'll find yourself as one of the frustrated people, wondering why you can't sit where you used to sit and all these different things. But because I love you and I don't want you to ever become complacent and resist the change that God is wanting to bring about, I'm declaring today to you, we're about to step into a season of suddenly. So now I want to tell you this as a pastor. What can you do to prepare for a suddenly? Because I could sit here and tell you suddenly and, you know, and paint these big pictures. It's going to look like this and look like that. But the reality is I don't fully know what it's going to look like. Only God knows the plans of the Lord. But what I can do is tell you how to prepare for a suddenly. So you're ready. If you're taking notes, get ready to start writing things down. I've got three things that you can do to prepare yourself for the suddenly that God is about to bring. Number one is live with a yes in your spirit. Live with a yes. Choose. I'm going to say yes to whatever it is that God wants to do. I'm sitting on go. I'm sitting on ready. I'm going to say yes. No is not an option when it comes to what God says or what God does. Determine right now, whatever God wants to do in your life, whatever God wants to do in His church, whatever God wants to do in this community, you will say yes. I've chosen. God, whatever you want to do, whatever suddenly looks like, I'm going to say yes to it, because it may not look exactly how I want it to look, but I know that if He has orchestrated it, it will be a perfect plan. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it costs, because sometimes suddenly will cost you something. It comes with a price. It comes with something that you've got to give up, something that you've got to give to. You know, you may say, well, I just can't wait till we get in a building. Well, do you realize that with a building comes greater responsibility? There's a rent that has to be paid. There's utilities that has to be paid. There's products that must be purchased. Are you willing to say yes to God, even if God says, I'm going to put it on your heart to give $200 extra to the church as we grow and as we get bigger and as we expand? I'm not asking for your money today. I'm just telling you what suddenly might look like. Yeah. But you've got to determine, I'm going to say yes to whatever it is that God wants to do. Because when you determine to say yes, no matter what, then you'll be ready for whatever it is that God wants to do, whenever God wants to do it. And suddenlies will be exciting, but when you don't live with a yes in your heart, you know what suddenlies are? They're an inconvenience. When you live with a yes, and you're ready, and you're prepared, and God sends a suddenly, you're excited. When you don't live prepared, and the suddenly comes, it seems like an inconvenience. We've got to go to more church services, because God's moving, and I liked my Monday nights at home, sitting on the couch watching, you know, Opera Land or whatever. I don't know. Soap operas. That's what I was trying to say. I don't know. I don't watch them. But when you don't, it seems like an inconvenience, right? Like I said, finding somewhere to sit, finding somewhere to park, you know, having to serve more, right? Are you willing to say yes to working with the children, because there's so many people coming, but they haven't had time yet to get plugged into Starting Point and serve in the nursery or serve in the children's ministry? Are you willing to say, you know what? I'll take a season and I'll serve every single Sunday so that those people can get plugged in and they can get through Starting Point? Because growth is exciting, but growth also costs you something. And it's not about just being comfortable. We've talked about this before. You can't grow and be comfortable at the same time. So what I'm saying is, say yes to being put in uncomfortable situations. Because sometimes suddenlies will put you in uncomfortable situations. But if you're not ready for it, it'll be an inconvenience. But if you're ready for it, it may seem like it's uncomfortable, but it'll still be exciting. Yes. Amen? Yes. It's like when you first get married. How many of you guys remember when you first got married, you had no money, but you had a lot of fun? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You were broke as a joke. I remember Pastor Madison and I getting money out of the car, digging it out of the car so we could go buy a milkshake when we first got married, right? But you know what? I look back on those times with fondness. I look back on it, I remember how much fun it was. Not that we don't have fun now, but was it comfortable? No, but was it fun? Yes. And suddenlies can be like that in your life. But the thing about suddenly is this: you can't predict it, but you can anticipate it. You can't predict it, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, why it's going to happen. But you know what you can do? You can anticipate it. And you saying yes to God is saying, God, I'm not trying to predict what you're about to do, but I'm anticipating that you're about to do something. I love the old quote that says, the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. If you show up with expectation, God, I'm expecting a suddenly today. I'm going to say yes to whatever it is that you call me to do. I'm going to say yes to whatever it is that you want. If I need to give, if I need to step back. You know, sometimes saying yes to God is saying no to something else. Something that you've become accustomed to doing. Something that is just a part of who you are, but God's saying, no, you're going to miss the suddenly if you're still involved in this or involved in that. It's not that it's wrong. It's just saying yes to God means sometimes saying no to other things. And we must learn how to live every single day anticipating the sudden move of God. You know what? You ought to come to church expecting God to move. Not wondering if he's going to move, expecting him to move. Anticipating him to move and say, you know what? Is today the day that he's going to bring explosive growth? Is today the day that suddenly he's going to change everything and change everyone? Is today the day that he is going to bring the powerful outpouring of his Holy Spirit? Well, if you don't have the yes already in your spirit, you might miss it, because when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Start right now by saying, I'm going to live with a yes in my spirit. Here's the second thing you can do to be ready for a suddenly, and that's keep watch. So you live with a yes, but you're always looking. You're always ready. You're always saying, God, is this it? Is that it? What is it that you're doing? I'm looking. I'm seeing. Because in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable about 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. All 10 went to meet the bridegroom. They were excited for the wedding. They got their little lamps and they're walking around. But as they were going to meet him, the bridegroom was delayed. He didn't come right when they thought he should come. They didn't come right at the time that he was supposed to come. And so they got tired and they decided to lay down and take a rest. Well, in the middle of their sleeping, an alarm was sounded and they were made aware of the fact that the bridegroom was now coming. They all rose from their slumber, they trimmed their wicks, and they began to light their lamps. And the 5 that were wise had carried extra oil with them and they were ready, but the 5 that were foolish didn't have enough oil. And they said to those that had oil, they said, hey, give us some of your oil. And they said, no, I'm sorry, there's not enough for me and for you. Go and buy some oil. So they ran over and they bought some oil, but while they were going to buy oil, they came back and the door had been closed. And they cried out and they said, Lord, 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 Lord. And you know what he said, the bridegroom from the other side of the wall? He said, I don't know you. I'm sorry, I don't know you. But Jesus ends that parable with this phrase in Matthew chapter 25. He says, therefore keep watch, for you don't know the day nor the hour. Now, obviously, he's talking about the coming of Christ, but I think we can also apply this to the topic that we're talking about today of suddenly is we don't know when the suddenly is going to come, so therefore we must be prepared with extra oil at all times. We must keep watch. And because you know what I've realized? Have you ever been trying to go somewhere that you've never been before? If you're not watching for your turn, you'll drive right past it. Right? If you're not looking for something, sometimes you will miss it. And we've got to keep watch for the suddenly to say, God, is this it? Is this what you're wanting? Is this what I need to say yes to? Is this what I need to say no to? I want to keep watch for what it is that God is doing. And so we live with a yes and we stay vigilant. We keep watch. God, is today the day? Is right now the hour? Is now the time? What are you doing, God, behind the scenes that I can't see that you're doing that I might miss if I'm not looking for it? In fact, if you keep reading in Psalm chapter 27 that I spoke about earlier, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. But unless the Lord keeps watch over the city, they watch in vain. We're watching not for what we want to see, but what he is doing.
Yeah.
We're watching to see, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Because the other night I was just praying. I was talking to the Lord. I was like, Lord, what do you want to do to bring about this growth that you've been promising? What is it that you want to do? Maybe we could do this. Maybe we could do that. And I started giving God all these ideas, right? Like he needs my ideas. And he shot every one of them down. He was just like, no, that's not it. That's not what you need to do. You know what I do need to do? Watch for what he's doing. And say yes to what he's doing and get on board to what he's doing because he has a perfect plan. But here's the thing. You just have to say to God, I want to be prepared for your sudden move and your sudden coming. Because Jesus said he's coming back like a thief in the night. He's coming back suddenly. There's not going to be this window of time that's like, hey, everybody get ready. No, we need to get ready right now. We need to keep watch because we don't know the day nor the hour when the suddenly is going to come in our lives. Amen? Here's the third thing. You ready? While you wait, worship and pray. So number one, you live with a yes in your spirit. Number two, you keep watch. But while you're saying yes, while you're watching, you worship and you pray. I want to show you this in Scripture because in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi. And they'd begun preaching the gospel and they were going and they were traveling through the town and they were preaching and people were being saved. But there was this young slave girl that was owned by these men that she was used by them to tell the fortunes of people. And they made great profits off of this girl and the evil spirit that she was walking in. And she began to walk behind Paul and Silas and she began to say, these are men of the Lord who have come to declare to you the salvation of your souls. And she did it day after day after day. And finally, it says Paul became greatly annoyed, and he turned around and he cast the spirit out of this girl that was ridiculing them and was following them and had begun to heckle them, and he just cast it out. Well, you know what happened? The people that used to make money off of this girl got so mad because now they realized their profits were going to dry up because their God was their money, and they grabbed Paul and they grabbed Silas and they dragged them before the rulers of the town, and they commanded that they be beaten and put in prison. So that's exactly what happened to them. So in Acts chapter 16, we find them in Philippi, and they're in jail for doing something that wasn't wrong, for doing what was right. So there they are, they're sitting there, but I love what happens next. Look with me at Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We have it on the screens if you'd like to follow along. Acts chapter 16, picking up in verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, you ready? Then suddenly there was an earthquake. And it was not just an earthquake, it says it was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up and when he saw the doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others of his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. I'm sure that sitting in that prison, it didn't feel like a suddenly was coming. I'm sure that they didn't feel like singing and praying. But when you pray and when you worship, you can be sure that God is listening and a suddenly is coming. You may be sitting in a situation that it didn't look hopeful for them. They were sitting in a jail. They had been beaten. They had wounds that they hadn't even done anything wrong. They didn't even deserve to be there. But you know what they did while they were waiting? They worshiped and they prayed. And it says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake. Where did that earthquake come from? It came from the Lord of hosts, who said, I've got some boys sitting down there in prison, but they're faithful to praise me and to pray and to worship. And while they're waiting, I'm going to send a suddenly into their situation. And I'm going to break off not only their chains, not only open their doors, but for everybody that is in that prison. Amen? You can be sure that when you pray and when you worship, God is listening. God shook the doors of the prison and set them free. But it wasn't just physical freedom that took place. There was a spiritual freedom that took place. It brought about salvation. If there's one thing that I have prayed for the church for a long time, it's that we would have the encounters like they had in the book of the Acts, when they would come to the church and say, what do I need to do to be saved? I'm not against evangelism. I'm not against going out and preaching the gospel. But I think that when we start being who God has called us to be, people want to come to us to find out what's going on, instead of us having to chase them down. Will you come to my church, please, please, please? Will you please let me pray for you? And because what we're trying to beg them into the kingdom of God. But when God is moving in suddenlies and miracles are happening, they'll beg you to find out, how do I get in on what you got? But we've got to have suddenly take place. But we'll miss suddenly if we don't say yes in our spirit. We'll miss suddenly if we're not keeping watch. And we'll miss suddenly if we're not praying and praising while we're waiting. And this is the kind of suddenly that I'm waiting for. I want to see God set captives free like this jailer. Listen, your prayers and your praise are more powerful than you give them credit for. So don't just sit around twiddling your thumbs. Pray and praise. You need to stop complaining and start praying. You need to leave the pity party and join a praise party, okay? Because your complaining and your whining and your grumbling isn't doing any good. But you know what will do good? Praising and praying. You see, what Paul and Silas probably didn't realize is that the people in jail, their fellow prisoners, weren't the only people listening to them. God was listening to them. He was listening to them praise and worship, and God was up there on the throne. And he heard those voices raised to him from that jail that was in Philippi. And suddenly he sent an earthquake to deliver them. I don't know when the suddenly is coming, but I do know this. I want to be found praising and praying when the suddenly comes. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the jail complaining and whining. Look at what they did to my back. They hit me with that thing. And that hurt. And can you believe that we did everything right and still nothing's going right? Sometimes when we do everything right and things still go wrong, we get mad at God. Yeah. Sometimes you're going to do everything right, and guess what? Everything's still going to go wrong. Right. It's not going to work out. But then suddenly, He will shift, and we will be faithful in the middle of that. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture in regards to this. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly... Yeah. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then it appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How did the Spirit come? He came suddenly. They'd been sitting in that room and waiting for days on end. What were they doing the whole time? They were worshiping and they were praying. They were worshiping and they were praying. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't stop. They didn't throw in the towel. And I'm sure that there was a couple times that they started to think, what are we doing? Yeah. We're just sitting here. Maybe I ought to go back to my regular life. But that suddenly came. And all of a sudden, all of them were covered with cloven tongues of fire. And they begin to speak and they begin to be filled with the Spirit. Is there anybody here today that would say, I'm going to say yes to God before he even tells me what it is that he's going to do? Is there anybody here today that say, I'll keep watch even when it seems like nothing's coming, nothing's on the horizon. I can't see it, but I know that it's coming. I don't know that it's happening, but I believe that he will do it. Is there anybody here that will say, I'll worship and I'll praise while I'm waiting on my suddenly? I want the suddenly to happen, but I can't make it happen. I can't predict it to happen, but I will anticipate. God, you are doing something that I can't see. You are doing something even when I don't know it, even when I don't understand it. And I'm telling you, I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that it will happen. Why? Because I'm confident that he who begun a good work will be faithful to complete it even until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this passage, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is the whole chapter of Malachi chapter 3. This is God speaking through his prophet, and he says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. God, I just ask that you would suddenly come to your temple. We say yes. We keep watch. We will worship and we will pray while we wait, God, but we ask that you would fulfill your word and you would suddenly come to your temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. You know what our response needs to be as everyone stands to your feet with me today? Our response needs to be simply this: come, Lord. If this is your heart, just say, come, Lord. Just say yes. God, we say we're going to live with a yes in our spirit. God, we just commit that to you right now, that whether it's tomorrow, whether it's Wednesday night, next Sunday, next month, 3 months from now, God, whenever this suddenly comes, you're going to find us with a yes in our spirit. You're going to find us with being willing to keep watch and to wait. We're not going to sleep. We're not going to slumber, but we're going to stay vigilant and we're going to watch. And God, we're going to worship and we're going to pray. We're going to keep doing what it is that you've asked us to do. God, we're not going to abandon it. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up, but we're going to press on more and more and more and more and more. God, we thank you for what you've done in the past year, but I thank you that behold, you are coming suddenly to your temple, to this house, God. And when you come, we will be waiting and we will be ready, God. We're not going to be caught off guard, but we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Just as suddenly you blew into that room in the upper room when the apostles were praying and they were worshiping, we say we want the suddenly of God to come and to rest on this place. We just say yes to you right now in Jesus' name. Come on, just say that one more time with me. Say yes. We say yes, Lord, to your suddenly. Whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, God. Amen. We just say that we will be here and we're trusting you. I thank you that the explosion is coming. Yes, and I just want to remind you, God doesn't work on our timetable. He doesn't work in our time frame. It may happen tonight. When you're in your home and I'm in my home and this person's in their home and that person's in their home, all of a sudden, suddenly, because you said yes right now, God hits your house and the Spirit of God begins to flow through it. It might happen Wednesday night when we're fellowshipping. It might happen next Sunday morning and the second we hit the first chord. I don't know when it's going to happen, but suddenly God is going to cause a shift to take place in this house and we're going to be here with a yes for it. Amen? Amen. Let's just right now, if you would lift your hands, and I just want to pray over you as we close out this service. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness that you have shown to us. I thank you for the faithfulness that has been shown by your people in your house, to your service, to be here, to be faithful, to serve, to love, to show up, to give. And Father, I pray that you would just bring that suddenly about, God, on your timetable, Lord, whenever you want. We're not trying to rush you. We're just saying we're here and we're ready. Whenever you want to do it, God, you have been so good and so faithful. God, if you never did another thing for us, you've already done enough through the work of the cross, providing atonement that makes access for us to the throne room of heaven and to one day spend eternity with you. And we thank you for that today. And we praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.